Welcome back, everybody, to the Slow Pitch Podcast. And hopefully everybody had a good time since the last episode, selling a whole bunch of stuff. Hey, Lane, how you doing over there?
I'm doing great, Rob. How are you?
I'm doing well. So what are we going to talk about today?
Well, Rob, we got an email today from a listener.
Nice.
Someone emailed us at questions@theslowpitch.com. If you don't mind, maybe I'll read it and we can go over this.
Let's do that.
Dear Slow Pitch, I'm in a really frustrating situation. I was referred to a potential client through a mutual professional connection. The client needs creative marketing services. I own a boutique marketing firm. We had lengthy talks regarding their needs, and I pitched them some ideas, some of which required me to travel across the country to their headquarters. We even discussed specific dates for my travel, which are coming up in the next few weeks. I gave them a ballpark price range for all aspects of the project. They didn't even bat an eye at the price, so I went ahead and emailed them a formal proposal. Since then, nothing.
Ugh.
They've not reached out to me, let alone sign the contract. Not only do I feel like I spent a great deal of time assessing their needs, but I'm supposed to be traveling for them really soon. I feel like the clock is ticking on that, and I'm really surprised they haven't given me an official green light. Meanwhile, I'm sitting here stewing, not knowing how to proceed. What went wrong? What should I do now? Sincerely, ghosted in the Midwest.
Wow, that sounds really frustrating. I don't know about you, Lane. What do you think?
Yeah, that drive me insane.
Let's see if we can dig into some of the problems that we ran into here and then maybe get into some of the solutions of what to do well before you get to this position. What do you think?
Sounds good.
All right, let's get started.
You're listening to the Slow Pitch Podcast, a podcast about selling less and closing more.
All right, everybody. If you're new here, my name is Rob.
And my name is Lane.
And today we are going to talk through this letter that we got. And I say letter, it's, you know, digital letter, right? It's more of an email.
No postage stamps.
Nobody wrote us on a physical piece of paper, although that would be really cool. I mean, whoever does that anymore nowadays. Anyway, I digress. So how do you want to handle this, Lane? We just went through that. How do you want to handle this? What would be the where to start here?
Well, Rob, I can read through this and I know you're going to have a whole lot of suggestions here.
Of course.
I spent too many years in the corporate world. So I know how I would probably have dealt with a client like this.
How would you have handled if from the corporate world, how would you have handled that? And it's okay if I would do something different.
Well, so I see Ghosted had a lot of conversations with a client, and it sounds like Ghosted may have committed to something or came close to commitments without really having the deal sealed. And I don't know that I would have gotten that far. I would have, we could have talked about travel. We could have talked about pricing and all, but man, I'm not booking travel dates or even committing to travel dates until I have a signed contract.
Yeah. And I don't know that they booked anything, but I do think if you've started to really get that far into it, and then wrote him a proposal and sending that, you've gotten quite a ways in, right? I mean, I feel like whoever this is thought, I've got a deal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And to me, that sounds like, I had a friend of mine one time tell me that when I was selling something, he said to me, he goes, it sounds like you're smoking something. Have you ever had hopium? Hopium's really, really good
That's
stuff.
That's dangerous stuff. Yeah, it's very dangerous.
Dangerous stuff. Yeah, it's up there in the narcotic world. Don't ever smoke the hopium. That's what he told me. And I was like, you're not far off. So it sounds like this person might be on a little hopium themselves. Maybe not, but...
It's quite possible. Quite possible, yeah.
Yeah. That's the worst part of being in sales. Man, I got a lot of hope. I think last episode we even talked about, I've got hope, but you can't pay your phone bill with hope. And yeah, it's frustrating, but that's not the way that it works. So I think, is there any other areas that you would see in this that you say, hey, I don't think this really went the way that it should have gone for them?
Yeah, I think most of my issues really come around that time commitment side of things where, we can travel here, we can travel there at certain times. Even the comment when Ghosted says, I'm sitting here stewing. I understand the frustration, especially if you're on the hopium,
yep,
that you're sitting there just waiting for that contact to come back. I would probably reach out once, maybe twice, and just drop the line of, hey, I'm still ready to work with you. As soon as we have a signed contract, we can agree on dates at that point in time. But until then, it's all on the client at that point to come back and actually give you the yes.
Yeah. And they're not even a client yet, right?
True.
To me, you're waiting. And I think if you were to look at this objectively and ghost it, I don't mean to offend you. However, if you looked at this objectively, like we are, we don't know you. We don't know this story. We don't know what all the background behind it. But based on what we're seeing here, you know, it sounds like you would possibly think of the potential client as being rude, as being a problem, as being somebody that doesn't, you know, give you the respect that you deserve. And all of that may be true, but my question would be, who do you think's, honestly, who is at fault here? Whose problem is this really? Is it the client or is it ghosted?
I think it's ghosted. I think ghosted set themselves up for a letdown, and you know, and maybe it is just that hopium factor, but
yeah,
I really like that. That's
yeah. Oh, it was when he said that to me, I was like, oh man, that is like brilliant. And I think this is one of those situations where, you know, you hear it, you give him credit, right? And I'm giving him credit that he gave me this. And then I might give him credit one more time, but after that, it becomes mine, I think, right? I don't know, maybe not.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, sure. So that's how it works.
9/10 of the law, right?
That's right. That's right. Possession, 9/10. So to me, back to this, though, I think I look at it and say, it starts in the beginning of your conversation with any potential client. I think you need to have some sort of an agreement that says, hey, we're going to talk. We're going to go through all of this information. You know, you're going to have some questions. I'm going to have some questions. We're going to kind of work through this a little bit and figure out if this is a good fit or not for us and see if it's a good fit. We're a good fit for you. Honestly, we don't know if we are. And I think at the end of that conversation, we have to figure out, do we want to work together? Do we not? And I think when we get to the point of deciding on, we need to start to write a proposal or an estimate, then at that point, it's, we know that you are comfortable with working with us. We know that you're comfortable with the rate that we're talking about or the approximate rate that we're talking about. We know that all the people that are supposed to be involved are involved and have their opinions heard, and that they are going to be able to decide on whether this is a yes or no, all before I write the estimate and give it to you. And if you're comfortable with that, we'll figure all that stuff out. We'll take it one step at a time. But when we get there, can we make some decisions when we put that proposal together right then and there? Can we do that? Because if you do that, suddenly they know what the rules are for the game. Otherwise, you're going to play the game that they like to play, which is, I'll tell you when I'm ready and may not tell you at all. In fact, I'm going to ignore your email until I want to decide to give you an email if I do at all. That's very frustrating for anybody who's in sales. I've been there 1,000 times before, so I get that. You have to stop allowing that to happen. So that's one thing, is starting it out right, starting it out on the right foot. And I also think, Lane, based on the last conversation in the last episode we had, do you think they were speaking to the decision maker in this conversation?
No, I tend to think that they weren't. I'm really curious what their client's personality type is. I'm sure you don't have nearly enough information to determine that by, but right. I would be really surprised at what their personality type is and where they fit in the organization.
Yeah. So I think if I was to ask them a question, my first question would be, who are you speaking with? Well, let me ask you, Lane, who do you think they were speaking to? Who do you think was either level or a type of person, not so much the personality side, but role in this? Who do you think they were talking to?
Yeah, I would think it's probably a mid-level, you know, manager type of person. Definitely not the owner.
Yeah, somebody who is collecting the information for the decision maker, it sounds like, right? Just based on what I'm seeing in their email. And I think that's one of the things to know, is if you are talking to somebody who doesn't have the ability to say yes and you don't know it, or you do know it, then you need to do some different elements to make sure that you can get to where you need to go. And I think for a reference, I think if you haven't listened to the previous episode, I would listen to that, because that will help you determine, by asking the right questions, am I speaking to the right person who can make the decision to say yes? They may be able to say no, but are they the right person to say yes? And if they aren't the right person to say yes, who should be involved so that they can get involved with that to making the decision to say yes or no? I think that's one of the pieces that I think is really important. One of the things that caught my eye was that really stood out, like glaring. In fact, if I read the email, these letters were in red to me, and they were, I went ahead and emailed them a formal proposal.
I knew that was going to catch your attention.
Yeah. I mean, you might as well have written that in bold letter, font size 28 in a font size 12 paragraph. Yep. To me, that was one of those where I'm like, wait a second, you sent them a proposal but we don't even have confirmation on anything yet. And so I would say never, ever, ever send a proposal to somebody unless you know what the answer is going to be based on all the elements that need to be involved before you can make that decision, which means, is it even worth their time? Is it worth their effort? Like, for example, you're a boutique marketing firm. You've given them some ideas. My question to you is, why are you giving them ideas before you work for them? Did they pay you for these ideas? Or are you just giving them ideas so that you hope you get the sale? And that's right. Not a good position to be in. It comes across as being, I wouldn't say needy, but it comes across as being you're trying to get the sale and trying to push them to buy from you. And instead, I think if they start pushing you for ideas, my answer would be back, boy, I would love to give you some ideas. However, the way that we usually work in this is we work through the details of what we want to have in terms of a deliverable. We get to the decision of whether or not we're going to be the right price, the right agency, whatever that is that you're looking for. Are we going to be able to work together? And then we sign that agreement. We start working there to start coming up and creating new ideas, because it doesn't make a lot of sense for me to start putting creative ideas together for somebody that we may not even be a right fit. I mean, would you like it, potential client, if while I'm working on your project, I had somebody come along who said, hey, same situation, they wanted some ideas, and I started pitching them other ideas that I could be using on yours? I wouldn't want that happening if I was in your shoes. I would want to have the best ideas that you have available at the time, instead of just willy-nilly pitching all these different ideas to everybody. Because if you're willing to tell everybody all your ideas, why should I pay you? Right?
Yeah, you're already giving it away for free.
Yeah, and that doesn't make sense. So never ever give away your ideas before you're paid, in a sense. I mean, listen, sometimes you have to give them a little nibble. I get that. But there's a point of, hey, we're going to work together or not going to work together. That's what I need to know, right? And there's a nicer way to say that. And there's a nicer way to get there. But that is one of those elements that you have to make sure you do. So emailing a proposal is way overboard and way too far out there. And if you're going to go through all of those pieces and all that work to get a proposal written, I hope you did a lot of other stuff to know that you're in the right place or not. And so I would say, you know, you talked about a ballpark price range. You gave them a ballpark range, it says, and you said they were okay and they didn't bat an eye. How did you know they didn't bat an eye?
Yeah.
How did you know that?
Just because they didn't say something doesn't mean they weren't going, oh my God.
Yeah. So let's try something. That. Let's try something. Lane, I need a website. How much is that going to cost? Just give me a ballpark.
Yeah, somewhere between, you know, $750 and $1,250.
Okay.
Oh, great.
Now, did that mean I'm good? Does that mean I want to buy? No, I'm like, okay, that's what I heard. But maybe my okay in my head is like, okay, that's way higher than I expected. Or that could be in my head, it could be, okay, this seems really low compared to what I paid before. My last time I paid $5,000.
Yeah, yeah.
And why is it so low? So how do you know that they didn't bat an eye? Did you ask the question when you started talking about ballpark ranges? If you were the ones that were, you were the one that was bringing it out first, did you ask them, how does that fit? Does that fit with what you were thinking? Or is that way out of the range of what you were thinking? A lot of times when I talk to people, we get into the ballpark range thing, I'll say, listen, it can range. And there's a couple of options in front of us usually. So option one could be between $2,000 to $5,000. And another option could be around $6,000 to $8,000. And then I have another option that's $10,000 to $15,000. I would guess the 10 to 15 is probably not in the range that you're looking for. I'm just based on what we talked about, I don't think that's going to be the need or what you're needing. If you had to pick one of those, what's the range that kind of fits? And they always pick the middle one. I don't know why. And then sometimes they pick the lower one, but very rare. You know, most times it's the middle one.
They don't want to sound cheap.
Yes. And that's fine. Okay. So the middle one, why did you pick that? What's kind of walk me through the decision as to why that would be the range that you were expecting. And where did you come up with that number? Because when you start asking those questions, all of a sudden, you know, they're legitimately, that's the right number. Or they're saying, yeah, that's fine. But that's because it's too high and they don't want to even deal with you anymore. They're just trying to find a way to get off the phone. And you have to narrow that down a little bit. And you'll know by asking some of those questions, whether or not they're really serious, or if they're just working through the steps to try to get you a number. And then, or better yet, when you give them ballpark range and you give them three ranges, I've also had this, I've given them three ranges and they say, okay, that's what we thought. Okay, let me get back to you. What? Let me get back to you. Okay, what happened? And they're like, yeah, all those are too high. You could just tell, but they didn't say it. And so it's like, I just have to, at that point, call it out and say, boy, it doesn't sound like any of those were in the range that you were looking for. And you know, at this point, I think I should probably just assume that we're not going to do business together. And that's okay. I don't mind. one way or the other. They'll either say, nope, that's true. We're not going to work together, and that's okay. Or they'll say, you know, no, that's not it at all. I can't talk anymore for right now. There's something that's happening and I have to go. Oh, that's a little bit different, but that doesn't happen very often. It's usually, no, you're right. That's not the range that I was looking for.
Do you have a question about sales? Call or text your question at 608-708-SLOW. That's 608-708-7569. Or you can email them to questions@theslowpitch.com. Now, back to the show.
Rob, another thing I noticed was Ghosted talked about travel. You know, I'm curious, when they talked about travel, you know, it sounds like they kind of discussed dates, but travel can get really expensive the closer you book. So, you know, I'm curious if they covered that, the cost of that travel within their proposal. Did they discuss how that was going to be handled? Who was paying for it? When they were going to book?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I mean, I feel like if I booked a flight tomorrow or versus 3 months from now, I mean, in the email it says, we even discussed specific dates for my travel, which are coming up in the next few weeks. Now, yeah. if you've got a whole bunch of stuff you've got to do to plan this in 2 or 3 weeks, the prices are going to be significant, right?
Yeah, yeah. You need to buy those tickets 3 weeks out to get the best price at least.
Yeah, yeah, at least that. So I don't, here's the other thing that I've always noticed. I don't know why this is, but when I deal with somebody on the phone and they're talking to me and telling me we need this right away, we need to make we're going to decide really fast, and this got to get started, and we got to have this date. This is the date, the drop dead date, it's got to be done. Have you ever had that where they're like, I need this really fast?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Have you ever asked them the question, in which Ghosted should ask the same question, is why that date? Can you help me understand what's going on that date? I mean, what happens if it's 3 weeks later? What happens if it's a month, 2 months later? And what happens if it's sooner? What happens then? Do you know that if I've asked that question, 99.558735% of the time, which is, you know, a made up number, but most of the time they answer with, oh, no, it's just, well, that's when we want to have it done by. It's not, we are launching something and it has to be fully in effect and this has to be live and everything has to be in place. No, very rarely. Every once in a while, that does come up. And I've had it where they say, we're going to have this event on this particular date. This needs to be in place. Okay, fine. That's, understand that. But they usually book those far enough out in advance to get that stuff done in time versus, hey, I just need this done by this date. So ask the question, why that date? Why is it coming up in the next few weeks? What's the problem with 2 months from now? What happens then? That tells me that Ghosted really didn't get into the pain side of things either, because much is this costing that company or causing them problems, or what are they dealing with by not doing this? And if they've got no reason to buy, they're giving you a false deadline. It's a red herring. It's a garbage thing.
It's just a goal or a target. It's not actual real commitment. Yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing I noticed in the email that says, not only do I feel like I spent a great time assessing their needs. So I think about, if you've spent a great time assessing their needs without being paid, I go back to the pitching some ideas, same thing. Why are you wasting your time or spending your time, spending any energy on something that you're not being paid for? It's not time yet. You don't need to do that. I have a dog that every day at 5:30 is asking for food. He's like, whimpering, whining, 5:30, meow, I want something. And I know what he wants. If it's 5:15 and he starts that on me, I look at him. He learns the phrase. I look at him and I say, it's not time yet. And he knows, okay. And he goes and lays down. It's very weird. He literally goes and lays down. It's not time yet. And the same thing here. When you're out there working before you're paid, sorry, but it's not time yet. You should not be working yet.
That's some sage advice.
I don't know about sage, but it's certainly something that I've noticed and learned from my dog. Let's put it that way.
Yes. Lessons I've learned from my dog.
Lessons I've learned from my dog. So the other question I would ask is, when did you ask for a decision from them? So when did they commit to getting back with you? Besides the fact that this person's not the decision maker and that you haven't asked for the decision maker to be in front of you, besides that fact, let's say they said you're never going to talk to the decision maker personally. When did you get a commitment from them that they're going to have a decision, a yes or a no, by this day? Because that's the worst case scenario. Best case scenario would be when you kind of went through the proposal with them on Zoom or on the phone or in person, whichever that may be, So you've gone through, here's all the things we talked about. Here's the problems we're fixing. Here's the issues. Here's the potential cost that it could cost by not doing this. You're putting it all in there. Like, here's all the stuff that's going to cause you problems by not doing these in a format that's positive, puts you in a good position. And here's the investment that's going to take to get that fixed, that solved, whatever that might be. That's where you go through that whole proposal and that presentation, if you will. And at the end of that, you should have a decision. You should be able to say, so where are we at here? You know, what do you want to do now? Do you want to close this out and say, nope? Or do you want to say, hey, let's move forward. What's going to happen next? And, you know, they'll tell you if it's a no, trust me, they'll tell you. And if they don't tell you a no, and they say, well, I want to think about it. You got another issue, right? Like, how do you deal with I want to think about it. Have you ever had that, Lane?
Yeah. I don't know that I have a good way of dealing with that. So I know how it makes me feel when you get that, I got to think about it.
What goes on in your head when you hear, I think about it?
Oh, it's, oh gosh, you know, what did I do wrong? What did I say wrong? What did I guess wrong? What did I price wrong? What did I do wrong?
Have you ever asked those questions?
No, that's very fair. I guess I probably should ask those questions.
It wouldn't hurt. The other thing, if I go back to the very beginning of your conversation, let's say when you had that, think about how you started out. Hey, when we go through all this conversation, at some point, we're going to go through a proposal if it makes sense. We may never get there, but if we do, and we get to the investment portion, we talk about all the things we're going to deliver, and it doesn't fit, are you comfortable telling me no? If you can't tell me no, then I should know that now, because I don't want to get there and you feel like you can't say no to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't want that. And if you can say no, okay, can you tell me yes then too? Because it kind of goes hand in hand. And then that way you won't have that, because when you get to that point and you're going through the proposal or the estimate or presentation or whatever you want to call it, and they say, well, it's a maybe, you can say, well, remember back in the beginning when we first started and we talked about, this is that point of, and a lot of times what you could do is just before you start your presentation, you say, all right, we're at that point. Remember in the beginning when we talked about, it's either kind of a yes or a no. That's kind of where we are. And this is the point in time where we're going to have to make some decisions. So let's go through what we've got and see what we come up with for decisions. They know exactly what's expected. It's very difficult to not give you an answer when you've laid that groundwork enough ahead of time. It's incredible how well that works.
Probably typically more in your favor because they don't want to give you that no.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, listen, if it's a no already, you'll get that when you start talking about the pricing. If you start talking about the dollars and the ranges, that's when you'll hear the no and you have to pay attention to it versus at the proposal part. If you get a no when you're writing the proposal, you missed it before. You missed it. You were not hearing it. You were smoking.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So that's the thing that to keep in mind. And really all of these things that we just talked through, to me, goes back to what can you control? In this scenario, you could control a lot of elements that would prevent you from getting into this position. You could control your initial conversation, what the expectations are. You can control what your ballpark price is and how that's going to come across and how you're going to get that information out of them. You can control if you're in front of the decision maker or not, to a degree. And if you can't get to that piece, what are you going to do next? But all the way through this, you have all the control unless you give it away and you don't allow it to happen.
Okay, Rob, well, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll answer Ghosted's final question of what should I do now?
Hey there, salespeople. You know how reviews make it so much easier to sell? Well, the same is true with podcasts. If you feel like this podcast is worth it and you can spare a minute, we'd love it if you drop us a review wherever you listen to this podcast. We appreciate it.
All right, Rob, we're back. Why don't you help Ghosted here and tell them what they should do now?
Yeah, that's a good question. I thought you would answer that. All right, maybe not. All right. So here's the thing. When you are in this position, you missed, honestly, and I don't mean to say anything to make you feel bad, but you missed obviously some valid points that you need to hit along the way to make sure that they're in place before you can proceed and so on. But you're here now. And really the key is how do I fix this and how do I recover, right? So I think the best thing I would suggest would be, I think you need to reach out to them directly I wouldn't email. Don't email, don't text, don't anything. I would call and I would leave a message if they don't answer, but I would leave a very quick and simple message, which would be, hey, so-and-so, whoever it is, I'm just trying to reach you. I have a quick question for you. I need to wrap something up. Can you give me a call back when you have a second? That's it. If they don't call back from that, then I would call back and I would leave the message that's going to be something along the lines of, it sounds to me like there's no interest in proceeding with our proposal, with our conversation, with all the stuff that we talked about. And so I've released plane tickets. I've released the things that I needed to set up to make sure that I was ready to do that. If I'm wrong, please give me a shout back. I'm just going to assume that nothing's happening at this point, but certainly feel free to reach out either way. But if I am correct, I really appreciate your time and leave it at that. Usually you'll get a response from somebody if they're really serious about buying. If they were really wanting to buy from you and you called them and left a voicemail that basically said, hey, I don't think we're working together. I'm releasing the plane tickets. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm basically shutting you down. They almost always will call you back and say, no, don't do that yet. We're still deciding. We're still, okay, now you've opened the conversation back up again. So you can recover from that point. So remember that point there. The other thing is if they answer their phone, then you're kind of in that same point. Now you have some questions you need to ask, right? So now you say, okay, I really appreciate you calling me back, or I really appreciate you answering the phone. I have a couple questions for you. You have a few minutes?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, first of all, I want to apologize. I made a terrible mistake.
How so?
Well, I mean, I made a terrible mistake in some of the stuff that I do to make sure that I put all this stuff together for you in our conversation about what we were going to be providing for you. Do you want to talk about that real quick?
Yeah. What was the mistake?
Well, yeah, I feel like it's a big deal. Like to me, it's a really big deal.
Okay.
All right. So now, Lane, what do you think I'm going to tell you? You think it's going to be?
Oh, I think you can tell me. You host everything up, and you know everything you told me is garbage. Yeah,
everything's wrong. We're starting from square one. I could have gotten your one of your kids pregnant. I mean, it could be something really major, right? It's like, this is what is happening. Well,
from across the country, that might be,
it's kind of tough. But okay, fair enough. But it's one of those scenarios where you're setting up this situation where you're like, this sounds really bad. I don't know what's going to happen. And so they're now all ears, right?
Yep.
All ears.
Attention. Yeah.
Yep. Now here we go. All right. So let me kind of share with you some of the things that I think I messed up. One of the things that I messed up with was, it feels to me like there's some other folks that are involved in this decision-making. Cause I know you, based on our conversation, probably could have easily made a decision and said, hey, let's go. I'm guessing some other people involved. Does that sound right?
Yeah. Yeah. I got a boss I got to talk to.
Yeah. So based on that, you know, what were some of the questions that came up? So now you've got them telling you the questions that came up in their conversation, right?
Right. Yeah.
Now we know that this person is the interim person, the person in between. If you're going to try to sell still, what you need to do is help them sell you, because it's too late to get in front of that boss. You could ask, but the likelihood of you now being able to interject yourself in front of the boss is going to be difficult, because they've had all these conversations and everything else, and they might be talking to the other people. So I think your question then becomes, if you've already had that conversation with the boss, what questions came up? They give you a question or two, then you can start to deal with that. If they came back to you and said, hey, here's one of the questions that came up. When we talked about that price, does that include this, this, and this? And your answer is not yes or no. What should your answer be?
You're going to fall back on those ranges again. What the options are, aren't you?
Maybe. I would say, if they said these are the things and what gets delivered, I would answer the question with another question, which is, what were your expectations of what was being delivered? Because when we wrote the estimate or the proposal, it's already in there. They already know. Yeah. If it's not clear, then I need to know what they're thinking. Is what they're thinking accurate or not accurate? So I'm going to ask them, what were your expectations? Well, we thought we'd get X, Y, Z, and some of A, B, and C. All right. Well, that's good to know. So what if I told you that A, B, and C are not included in that range? and the A, B, and C are actually in the other range that we talked about before. That was the higher range. What happens then? Oh, then we're not going to buy. Okay. Now you know. Probably not going to get the sale. But you just found out it didn't take long. If you know you're up against two other companies, two other estimates, right? It's you and two others. Here's another question you can ask. You can ask the question of this person that you're working with. Let's assume that I'm not one of the three. I mean, what if I took my estimate out and you had to take the other look at the other two? You must have a favorite at least of one of those two. Do you have a favorite of one of those two? So let's assume that they say yes. And when they say yes, we have a favorite. I actually have one of those two. Interesting. Can you tell me a little bit more? Like, what do you like about that? What's thing that you go, this is the thing that I really like about that company? And again, I'm not in the race. Let's just assume I'm not, because I don't even know that I can fit into this based on our conversation so far, but maybe I can. What would you tell me is their strongest piece? And if they tell you, hey, they're really good at this, this, and this, your job is not to go, well, so can I. That's not your job. Your job is to go, do I match that, or have I shown or demonstrated that, right? And if I haven't been able to demonstrate that, well, then you're probably in trouble. You're not going to make the sale.
Yeah.
But if you already demonstrated, then okay. So at some point, you might even circle back to, all right, so now let's say I'm back in the ring there. In your conversations, how did we compare to the other folks? Did we compare positively, negatively? How did we do? And if they say, actually, you're one of the, you know, I've had it where they say, actually, you're one of the leaders. We'd like to work with you most of all of them. But there's one little piece that we're just trying to get an answer from this other company. And that's usually when I go, okay, I know I'm in pretty good shape. But sometimes they don't tell me that. They just say, yeah, I don't know. You know, they can't give me a straight answer. And I know, all right, things are probably not going my way. At which point I can easily say, all right, maybe it just makes sense for me to just, since you already have some good options out there, let me just withdraw my proposal. I'll take it back. And it's no harm, no foul. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Do you know how many times people freak out when you do that? They do not like you to take their estimate back. Yeah.
Now we Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So it's not that I'm going to get the job, but there might be a need for them to have that. They could also say, fine, I don't care. Doesn't matter because we got yours already.
Yeah, exactly.
Doesn't
what
matter.
What are you going to do? Come rip it out of my email?
Yeah. I'm just looking for somebody to tell me whether or not I'm even in the running. But I have to find out if you have the ability to get back in front of the person you talk to, and even more importantly, in front of the decision maker. Because if you can do that, then you're back in the running and you can actually open up more conversations and fix the things that you did wrong before. So don't be afraid of calling them back and saying what I said earlier, which is, I made a huge mistake. I messed up something really bad. Can we talk about it really quick? I'm so sorry. I feel really bad. Because then they'll listen and they'll take it serious because you take it serious. Because you're being serious. You want to make sure this is fixed for them. Does that answer the what should I do now question?
I think it does. Okay. Personally, hopefully Ghosted feels the same. And it honestly, hopefully Ghosted doesn't feel bad about this conversation. And our intention wasn't to beat up on Ghosted. We honestly want to help Ghosted and everyone else out there. So we really do appreciate the question. And we would encourage you to call or text your comments to 608-708-SLOW. That's 608-708-7569. Or email us like Ghosted did at questions@theslowpitch.com.
Yeah. And remember, like when you send that stuff in, this is a safe place. This is where we can all learn from everybody's mistakes, because what better place to make a mistake than when you're thinking about it rather than actually in person. So I congratulate Ghosted for actually having the mistake, having the guts to bring it up. I appreciate it. So until next time, we will see you guys later.
See you later.
Later.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to The Slow Pitch. Slow down and close more.